Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. And today we start the 2022 season. It's been a while since we've been on the mic, but I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be covering another year of Notre Dame football for you guys. And I mean, what a way to start it! You start off with Ohio State at the Shitbox Shoe, week one, game of the week. Arguably the game of the year on the schedule, depending on how the schedule plays out across the country. But a top five matchup, we are 17.5 point underdogs, and that number will continue to grow because, as you all know, everybody has already counted us out of this game, except for the people inside that locker room. And honestly, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what the talking heads say, doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what the fans of either team says. The only thing that matters is that that team in South Bend, Indiana, that has been preparing all summer for this game, thinks that they have a chance to win this game. And they know that if they play the best game of football that they can, anything can happen. You have to control the line of scrimmage, you have to control the clock, and you have to eliminate turnovers. It's going to be wild. It's not going to be a calm environment. It's not going to be our traditional week one opponent where it's a team that, isn't at our level, for lack of better terms. Ohio State is everything you want in a week one opponent to prove to the country that you are who you say you are. And honestly, the way Notre Dame has recruited in the offseason, the players that they've added through the transfer portal, and the announcement of Tyler Buckner being our quarterback, as opposed to Drew Pine, it says everything you need to know about this team. They're riding with Tyler Buckner, the 19 or 20-year-old kid who gets handed the keys to the Notre Dame offense with, basically brand new head coach Marcus Freeman in his first full season. Obviously, he picked up the job during bowl season and coached us during the Fiesta Bowl last year. But I don't know. You lose a lot on offense. You lose a little on defense. You still bring back a ton of great talent on this team. And obviously, Buckner's named the starting quarterback. At the receiver positions, you have Lorenzo Styles and Braden Lindsey. And then you also have Jaden Thomas as the top three. And then the second string for each of those guys, respectively, Deion Colsey, Matt Salerno, and then Joe Wilkins. At running back, Chris Tyree Jr. We saw it in spurts last year. We saw it in situations. This guy is an absolute electric factory with the ball in his hands, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can hit you deep on a run between the tackles, and he can even hit you deep on a pitch outside the tackles. Like, Chris Tyree is a phenomenal running back, and he's a junior now, so he's a little bit of under he's got a little bit of experience under his belt, and I honestly cannot wait to see what he will do as a marquee back. We've seen great things in camp out of Audric Esteem, and then Logan Diggs as well. We've seen great things in game opportunities and in practice. So it's a young team, but a team that I trust at the skill position. And then obviously, you cannot forget about the best tight end in the country, Michael Mayer. Kevin Bauman backs him up, and then the offensive line is all hogs. You got Joe Alt, Jarrett Patterson, Zeke Correll, Josh Lugg, and then the Avon, Indiana native Blake Fisher. I mean, arguably a top five, if not one of the best offensive lines in the entire nation. And if you guys know anything about me, I always preach this. The train does not leave the station if the offensive line does not do their part. And honestly, this is an offensive line that you can anticipate on doing their part week in and week out. And with a young and inexperienced quarterback at the college level, you absolutely need that line to perform to the highest level that they can. I honestly have no doubt that the line will be the strong suit on the offense. I'm not sure what I'm going to expect from Tyler Buchner in year one, but I do honestly believe he is the best option at quarterback. He is backed up by Drew Pine, and that wraps up the offense. We'll get into the game here in a little bit after we get through the defense, obviously, with the depth chart being released, and it's been so while since we've talked. I can't wait to just talk NU football again this year. It's a very intriguing year, a very polarizing year, and I truly think that you know, if you take care of your business in these early weeks, the rest takes care of itself. But on the defensive side of the ball, at the end positions, you have Riley Mills and you have Isaiah Foskey. Isaiah Foskey is, you know, I always talk about it on this pod. He is that next guy that happens to play defensive end, just like the Okwara brothers, just like Stephon Tuitt, just like all these guys from Notre Dame that end up in the NFL after playing defensive end for Notre Dame. His position on the depth chart is labeled as a Viper. So that is an interesting position name. I like that. Expect 10-plus sacks, turnovers galore, and just hell to be raised in that backfield and amongst quarterbacks on our entire schedule. The will linebacker is Morris LaFau. The middle linebacker is J.D. Bertrand. And the rover is Jack Kaiser. It's an interesting group, but I expect big years out of both Kaiser and Lufau. And honestly, Bertrand, I've heard good things about as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that group gels together. But a almost 100% new linebacker group for our guys. And I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be bad or something in between. But you got Bo Bauer backing up. And then obviously Prince Kali in there backing up as well. It's a experienced group in a sense that they've been at Notre Dame for quite a few years, but it remains to be seen what we'll end up getting from this group. I truly think that the defense needs to find ways to win football games for the offense because we don't know what we have in that young offense. We think that, you know, maybe this year it will be a lot heavier of a rushing attack just due to the fact that it's a young, inexperienced quarterback. And, you know, you lose a lot in the receiver room with Kevin Austin leaving, Kyron Williams left at running back, but you still have a lot of young, talented running backs that can go in and fill that void that you miss with a guy like Kyron Williams. If you move into the secondary, this is the unit that is going to be tested the most out on Saturday. Because C.J. Stroud and Jackson Smith and Jigba are electric. C.J. Stroud is probably going to be a top 10 pick. Smith and Jigba will probably be a top 15 or top 20. And then you can't forget about Travion Henderson at the running back position. They just are an electric team to face week one. So at cornerback, you have Cam Hart and Clarence Lewis. At safety, you have D.J. Brown. And then you have the Northwestern transfer, Brandon Joseph, which – ironically, that is my first name, Brandon, obviously, and then my middle name is Joseph, so I thought that was kind of ironic that his name is that, but a guy that I got to see play a lot at Northwestern due to the fact that my brother is, like, the biggest Northwestern fan in the history of Northwestern fans, so it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts to playing in Notre Dame's defense and how he'll be able to contribute, but it's a player that I'm excited to see at our defense. You have Tariq Bracey backing up at the cornerback position and then Houston Griffith as well at the safety position. So kicker, you got Blake Group as place kicker on kickoff. You have Bryce McPherson and then punt returner is Brandon Joseph. Kick returner is Chris Tyree Jr. And the punter is John Sott. So that rounds out the roster. Avery Davis is out for the season, I believe, and there are a couple other injuries that are escaping me at the moment, but this is a team that right now we know everyone has counted us out for this week one match against Ohio State. It's slated for 6:30. It's going to be on ABC, and it is 2 versus 5, and like I said, we are 17.5-point underdogs, and the ESPN matchup predictor right now has us predicted as having a 16.5% chance to win this game. That is not high enough for me. I truly think Notre Dame has a way better chance to win that game. I truly think we cover the spread, even though I haven't seen us play one single game. I just think that's entirely way too many points for a week one game, where Ohio State has shown over the years that they have lost these games in week one. Like, they are prone to a stinker in week one, regardless of where the sports books and the national media have them anticipated as finishing the season. Right now, they have the second highest odds to win the college football playoff. It's at plus 300. Our odds are way higher because they figure between Clemson and Ohio State that eventually a game will be dropped at some point. So it's tough. It's tough as you could get week one, but you have to go in there and you have to be Notre Dame. You have to figure out your identity week one on the road in a hostile environment. And all signs point to it being a run heavy team. Now, obviously, Marcus Freeman's going to take his shots. If you want to hang with Ohio State and you go down early, you're going to end up having to throw the football. But I think this is a game where you come out, you establish the run, you establish the fact that you're the more physical team, that you have the better offensive line, and that you're going to control the line of scrimmage. If you can control the line of scrimmage early in the game and make Ohio State uncomfortable, then I truly think that you can dominate them. You could have 5, 6, 7, 8 minute long drives that end with touchdowns just by running the football and by being mean and nasty up front with this offensive line. Now, I know Ohio State has athletes and they have quality 5-star recruits and top players in this league, but it is truly a testament to the way that Marcus Freeman has recruited how they will perform in this week one matchup. You know, if they go out and they play the type of football that we know Notre Dame is capable of playing, and they stay in this game and they potentially pull off the biggest week one upset, you know, of college football this year. This is a team that's talking about the college football playoff on the other side of this game. Like, you know what I'm saying? If they win this game, the narrative flips. Ohio State now has to run the table in the Big Ten to get to the college football playoff. And we just have to win the rest of our schedule without a conference, you know, without a conference championship at the end. This is a college football playoff game, essentially elimination game, if you will, week one. So you have to go out there and find a way to win this football game. Tyler Buchner is a skilled runner. Utilize the RPOs, utilize the read options, utilize your All-American tight end in Michael Mayer. Get him the football early, get him the football often, and use your explosive players on the edge like Braden Lindsey and Lorenzo Styles. We saw what Lorenzo Styles could do in the bowl game. We've seen what Braden Lindsey has done in his career at Notre Dame. Now, I know he hasn't exceeded expectations, but in flashes, he has looked phenomenal for this team. And if used the right way, Braden Lindsey can be a game changer for this 2022 team. On the defensive side of the ball, it's simple. I mean, I say that as a podcaster and someone that's not going to have to go out there and defend, but you can give CJ Stroud and this Ohio State offense the short stuff. You can allow them to get the short completions as long as you're there to make the tackles, right? But it's the deep ball that Ohio State loves, and they live and they die by taking shots, and they're good at it. They have a quarterback in their team right now, and even – you know, their previous quarterback, Justin Fields, my quarterback with the Bears, were very capable of stretching defenses out and hitting you for the long ball. So, yes, that concerns me. Yes, our secondary being a unit that has not played together, I guess you will, that has not played, you know, games with each other. Yeah, that is concerning to me. But I truly believe that if they can find a way to keep the ball in front of them and not allow CJ Stroud to have completions 30, 40, 50 yards down the field, then this is anybody's game. This is a game that, like I said, you have to control the line of scrimmage on offense. On defense, we have the guys capable to control the line of scrimmage as well. But Ohio State recruits just as well as we do. They have quality players all throughout their roster, and they're led by arguably the best quarterback in the nation. So for Notre Dame to win this game, I'm going to steal a term from baseball, you have to play a literal perfect game to win this game. And that's why nothing will be free. You're going to have to earn every yard that you get. You're going to have to earn every stop that you get. And it's going to be tough. It's what you want in college football, though, right? Like, college football is a sport that you probably see more upsets than you do in any other sport. And it's always about finding ways to win football games in those clutch moments. And we saw Notre Dame was more than capable of doing that in the past seasons. But it's a whole new crew. You know, it's not Jack Cohn or Ian Book. It is Tyler Buchner. It is Marcus Freeman. It is Lorenzo Styles and, you know, Chris Tyree and all these guys. And it's time to see what the end of the Brian Kelly era as far as recruiting looks like out on the field, you know, some of these guys. And it's also time to see what Marcus Freeman's mental makeup is, because we've seen it as a defensive coordinator. We haven't seen it as a head coach. We haven't seen him out there for more than one game. And it was a hectic game. You know, I'm not going to judge Marcus Freeman based upon his performance in that one game, but it is a guy that has come, you know, highly regarded from just about damn near everybody in that program for Notre Dame. And it's going to be great to see him grow into this job as, you know, a young head coach in college football. Right now, I like what I've seen from him. I like the fire I saw from him on the defensive side of the ball as the coordinator, and I truly believe that he was the right guy for the job. But right now, we have to rally behind him. He's not Brian Kelly, so we can expect he'll come out with a little bit of a higher anticipation to make plays happen and get some points on the board early. A lot of shit has come out about Brian Kelly since the end of his time here, and we'll get into that on another show. But my keys to the game, I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face. On offense, I'll put a number on it. You have to have time of possession around 35 minutes. You need 35 minutes with the ball, and you need to find a way to have, I'll say, 35-plus points. 35 minutes, 35 points. That's the number. Find a way to get 35 minutes time of possession and 35 points, because you're going to need probably 35 points to beat Ohio State. Even though you shorten the game, this is a team that will hit you fast. They strike quick, and they score a lot of points themselves. So find a way to get early points and find a way to get to 35 with the time of possession in your favor. And I think this is a very winnable, it becomes a lot more winnable of a game. On the defensive side of the ball, eliminate the long ball, keep everything in front of you, and do not allow Stroud to get comfortable. I mean, we have phenomenal players on the defensive line and in the pass rush. You really like what you see in guys like Isaiah Foskey and the Adamalola brothers, as well as Howard Cross. So, I mean, what else can be said about that defensive line? It is one of the best units in the country. This team is top-heavy in a sense that two of our best units across the whole team are our offensive line and our defensive line. And if you ask any head coach, that's a great problem to have. So a physical team usually fares well in college football. And it'll be great to see how our physicality can carry us through this game. But defensively, like I said, eliminate the long ball, make CJ Stroud uncomfortable, and don't allow this offense to get into a rhythm. Because when this offense gets into a rhythm,
it's a wrap. They're going to put up points however they want, whenever they want, and to the tune of whatever number they want, if you know what I'm saying. So we will see what ends up happening out on Saturday. But on offense, in order for us to win this game, I do believe that Chris Tyree will have to rush for over 100 yards, 150 yards, actually. I think he's going to get about 150. 150 all-purpose, we'll say, because he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's going to get a lot of carries. And my player that will be the key will be Chris Tyree, if I really break it down, because he's going to probably see the most touches on offense in this game. Unless we go down early and Tyler Buckner has to throw the ball a million times, which is never a recipe to winning football, you want to see Tyler Buckner throw the ball maybe in the neighborhood 30 times this game. You figure you'll probably get about 80 plays. So keep control of the line of scrimmage and allow Chris Tyree to just cook. And the rest will take care of itself. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm looking to Isaiah Foskey to create havoc in a sense that, you know, C.J. Stroud does not get comfortable. He will have at least one sack and a couple tackles for loss and then a couple tackles or half tackles, however you will. But I do believe that he will have quality performance out there on Saturday and be an absolute game changer for us in this game. On special teams, it's tough, but I'm also going Chris Tyree. Kick return is going to be important because you're going to need to set yourself up with good field position. If you can set yourself up with good field position and start drives out early, in good territory, then the rest will take care of itself. You will usually get points on drives that you start around the 50, right? With an offense that has a quality offensive line and that can run the football the way we run the football, you have to get good field position and allow the offense to cook. I truly think, you know, cooking with Bookers is what we're going to call it this year. But special teams will come down to blocking. And a lot of times, too, in college football, you do see that teams are not, you know, returning kicks often. They are just catching the ball and fair catching it and just kind of hanging and starting at the 25. So if Chris Tyree doesn't get a lot of opportunities to return kicks, it's not the end of the world. But if he does get opportunities, I would like to see him take advantage of that and maybe bring one out to about the 50. For my score prediction, in order for us to win this game, it does have to be, like I said, above 35 points, right? So you're not going to come to this podcast and find me talking about a way that we will lose this game. But if Notre Dame is to win this game, I have it somewhere being in the neighborhood of 35 to 31. I have it being a close game. I don't believe at the end of the day that the spread gets covered by Ohio State. Obviously, as I just said, I have Notre Dame winning the game, but I really do think that this is an opportunity to show everybody what the 2022 Notre Dame team is. And on the road against I wouldn't say a rival, but throughout my whole life, I know we've never beaten Ohio State. So why not start now? Why not get a victory in week one to start the season off on the right foot and make a run at the college football playoff? So like I said, my way too optimistic homer score predictions, 35-31 Notre Dame. My players, or my key players for this game, are going to be Chris Tyree on offense, on defense Isaiah Foskey, and then as well on special teams, I need a big game from Chris Tyree. But we'll be back with you guys on the other side of this game to break down what happens out at the Horseshoe in Columbus. And hopefully it's a win. We're going to be here regardless of if it's a win or a loss to cover it for you and break it all down. But we do appreciate everyone for joining us on this week's episode of Irish on Tap. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of the Ohio State game, win, lose, or draw, to break it all down and get you guys prepared for the rest of this season, because this season, a lot of this season does ride on this week one game. If you lose, people will already be counting us out of the college football playoff, except for the people in that locker room. But it's not over if you lose week one, because at the end of the day, Ohio State's probably going to be in the college football playoffs themselves. We all know how that works out for teams at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens. But like I said, we'll be back with you guys next week. This was Irish On Tap, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BeatOn300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. We'll be back with you guys next week. Irish by 1,000, and go Irish.